I wasn't a Christian man, I'd probably be kicking in your way.
Welcome. Sit back, relax, and get ready to listen to JB's Low Tech Podcast. When I come back from this short pause, I will discuss the first topic of today's podcast. And it may be of interest to those who find themselves in a certain family dynamic right after this short break. Hey, ball players, do you find something lacking in your game when balls are hit to you and you just don't make the play? Maybe it's not you. Maybe it's your glove. Maybe your glove needs to have new life injected into it. Well, you can do so at JB's GloveRepair.com. And that's JAYBEES GloveRepair.com. Check out the site. You'll find out there's more than me talking about gloves on the site.
Take the bass line out. Jiggle. Let it bump. From standing on the corners bopping to driving some of the hottest cars New York has ever seen.
And welcome back to JB's Low Tech Podcast. Well, life has been hard knock in 2020, and for some people, even more when they take on the dynamic of the family therapist. Do you find yourself in that position? You're the person that everybody in the family comes to talk to or lean to for advice? Well, here are some tips to help you as you continue on in that role. Number one, do not talk too much. Be there to listen. The more you listen, the more they talk, and the more they actually talk and walk themselves through their issues. For some, just hearing things out loud can be enough to help to get them on the right path. Number two, do not launch into fix mode. As soon as the person comes to you and starts telling you what's going wrong, don't instantly launch into fix mode. Believe it or not, even though they're there to unload their issues or burdens or problems on you, they're not there to have you fix them, only to help in some way. And launching into fix mode may actually lead to people shutting down or just walking away from you. Number three, do not talk over the phone. Talk to each other face-to-face, or in these times of 2020, talk to each other over virtual conversation sites such as Zoom or Skype. And the reason for this is, one, you can't tell or judge their body language over the phone. Facial expressions are key to the conversation, and you need to be able to see their face. Now, granted, in 2020, this might be a little more difficult, but still, try to talk to each other face to face. Also, they need the human contact. That's why they stepped forward to talk to you in the first place. They wanted to talk to you, talk to someone they trust. Number four, do not try to fill the silence. As your family member is talking to you, let them communicate at their own comfort level. If they go quiet, allow that to happen. They may be thinking. Do not stop their chain of thought. Once they're ready, they'll come back and start talking again. They will continue to talk, and you allowing them the time to be silent only helps them get more comfortable and even think things out. Number five, do not judge their reality. More than likely, you do not know where their mindset is at this time. Let them express it to you. Let them tell you how they are and where they are. Accept wherever they may be. Don't judge their reality. Don't put your reality into their reality. Just allow them to tell you where things are. And finally, know when to call in the pros. If it is something they cannot fix or work out on their own, please get them to see a professional. Remember, you're not a pro. You can only assist them if they have a clear plan of action that fits them. But if they do not have a plan, then get them to seek professional trained help. Again, you're not the pro, even though you're the one that everybody may come to talk about their issues. Well, after this short break, I'll be back with the question of the week right after this on the JB's Low Tech Podcast.
The Ferrari or Jaguar, switching four lanes with the top down, screaming out money ain't a thing.
Bubble hard in the double law, flashing the rings with the window crack, holler back, money ain't a thing.
Jigga, I don't like it if it don't gleam, gleam in the hell with the price, but the money ain't a thing.
Put it down hard for my dogs that's locked in the bang. When you hit the brakes, new whips, money ain't a thing.
Come on. Welcome back. And this week, the QOTW, which can either be the quote of the week, like last week where I talked about the quote from Kirk Ferentz, the head football coach at Iowa, or it could be the question of the week. And this week, it will be the question of the week. Sometimes these will be thought-provoking. Sometimes they'll just be silly and fun. And this one will definitely fit the latter. Here we go. If Batman, Wonder Woman, The Flash, and Superman are taking a group selfie, who is holding the phone? Believe me, there is only one correct answer. Are you ready? The answer to this week's question of the week is Batman. It should be obvious. It's simple to its core. Come on, you know it's Batman. Batman is the original tech geek. With all the cool gadgets, of course, he would have the most up-to-date cell phone or other techie gadgets to pull this off. We all know that Batman had a car phone and probably the first cell phone before they were a thought in Apple's eye. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Well, bring it up with your friends and let the debate begin. Speaking of debates, that will bring me to the next topic of the podcast, which is sports, TV, and radio. And I will come at this topic as somebody who consumes a lot of it, unfortunately, but I do. And it drives me up the wall to hear these fanboy commentators discuss topics like, who will win the MVP after four games into a season? Or who will win the Heisman Trophy or be in the college football playoffs after the first week of games? They have to do a better job of knowing other topics to talk about, to just bringing these 15-minute easy segment questions. It's just laziness. And you have people like Mike Greenberg of ESPN and Stephen A. Smith, also of ESPN, who are making a living off such. Also, they spew ridiculous hot takes to drum up controversy or hope they become part of the story or more important to the viewership. I heard Mike Greenberg state that the Tampa Bay Bucks coach is the problem for the team's losses this year. I don't know how that could be possible. He doesn't play. He doesn't make plays. Yes, now if he was a terrible play caller, that's one thing. But obviously when you watch their games, you can tell it's because of the aging quarterback who can't throw the ball down the field better than me. In Mike Greenberg's twisted fanboy mind, Tom Brady can do no wrong. Well, he forgets one of the most biggest points in sports. Father Time is never, ever defeated. And the head coach is seeing it, and he is trying to adjust the play calling to fit what Tom Brady can pull off these days. But why do they continue to ask things like, who will win the Heisman, or who will be the MVP, or who will be in the college football playoff? Because of lazy show producers. There are plenty of things to talk about that happen on the field every week, every game, that can be discussed. To me, Heisman talk and MVP talk should be for the latter part of the season, and I mean the late part of the season. I blame two entities for this style of journalism, and I've already mentioned one, the geeky fanboy show producers who want to show that they're the smartest one in the room by bringing up topics when it comes to sports. These are people who mostly probably never played sports and want to be able to add something to the conversation at the water cooler or the break room. Yeah, well, but all they bring up is analytics and questions, like I said. Who's going to win the Heisman? Well, most people who are college football fans don't even care about the Heisman. The other entity that I blame for this, or the person, is Eddie Murphy. And I know you're listening going, Eddie Murphy? What does Eddie Murphy have to do about sports, television, and radio? This one fact, the movie Coming to America, where Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall play the role of people in a barbershop discussing boxing and sports. And ever since then, these geeky fanboy show producers think that that's how sports, television, and radio should be. Drives me up the wall. They need to get a clue. After this break, I will come back and discuss our last topic of today's show on the JB Low Tech Podcast. Welcome back. Speaking of drifting back, I got caught up in listening to Donald Fagen, the lead singer of Steely Dan. If you don't happen to know who he is, well, I want to reach out to three individuals I know from college who lost their dad this past week. And that is the Hankinson family, the passing of John Hankinson, former Gopher quarterback and father of three Gopher hockey players, Peter, Ben, and Casey. I'd like to send my family my condolences, but also I would like to use this to launch into story time and talk about my relationship with those three young, and I call them young because they're younger than me, young men, Peter, Ben, and Casey Hankinson. Well, back in my college days, I took a hockey class from Bill Butters, who was the assistant coach at the University of Minnesota at the time. And I was leaving at the end, because class was held at the old Mariucci Arena where the team played and practiced. And I was getting off the ice, going downstairs to the locker room to change, where I was stopped by a couple of characters, Dave Snuggerud and Peter Hankinson. They noticed that I was wearing the same color practice jersey as I had borrowed one from the equipment manager that day to wear in hockey class. And they said, hey, why don't you stick around for practice? Their line mate happened to be injured, and they were missing a wing. Somehow I allowed them to talk me into going back out on the ice with the Gopher varsity. They wanted to see how long it would take Coach Woog to figure out that somebody was on the ice who didn't belong there. Well, as we skated warm-up drills and we were going from one end of the ice to the other doing lines, as it's called, the whistle blew. And Coach Woog turned around, pointed a stick at me, and told me to get the hell off the ice. Well, I can say that I skated two line drills with the Gopher varsity hockey team back in the day. The second of three stories involving the Hankinson boys was one day I attended the Skate with the Gophers event that they normally have every year. And that's an opportunity for youth to come in and skate and meet their favorite Gopher hockey players and get autographs. I think that still goes on. I'm quite sure it won't go on in these times of COVID, but once we're out of it, I think that may still go on. And I think it even happens with the women's program. Well, I was there and was skating around, and I noticed this group of youth kept following me, and I couldn't figure out why. I was just there to hang out. I don't even know why I was there. Maybe just to see what Skate with the Gophers was about. Well, I finally stopped, and this group of youth huddled around me, and I finally said, why are you guys following me? And one of them said, because they said you're Ricky Foggy. And I looked at the young people and said, I can guarantee you I may have helped recruit Ricky Foggy, but I am not Ricky Foggy. They would not, those young people would not buy into what I was telling them. I was pleading. I was, you know, unfortunately, I didn't have my ID. It was in a locker in the hallway. And so I wasn't able to show them that, you know, hey, no, see, I'm not Ricky Foggy. I'm this other idiot. Well, they wouldn't go away. And as I looked up again, Dave Snuggerud, Peter Hankinson, and this time joined by Ben Hankinson, were in the other corner laughing their butts off and pointing at me. Again, I got sidetracked or bushwhacked by the Hankinson boys. Did I sign autographs? Yes. Did I sign them as Ricky Foggy? Yes, I did. And then as soon as I left, because I had Ricky's home phone number, that was before the days of cell phones, I called Ricky and told him that there might be people coming up to you saying thanks for the autograph at the Skate with the Gopher event. And I went on to explain to him what happened. Ricky thought that was quite funny. So, again, thanks, guys. And now to my last part of story time. And my third, I wouldn't use the word run in, but the third time I crossed paths with the Hankinson boys, and this time Casey was involved also. I used to play hockey on a local team called Team Media. It was made up of former pros, you know, former NHL players, former Olympians. We had a couple of guys from the 1980 gold medal hockey team playing with us. TV and radio personalities, and even every once in a while, people like Jesse the Body or Bench Warmer Bob would come out and play. And I think even one time we had Darren Nelson out there. We pushed him around in a chair, but he made an appearance. This brings me to a game we played, and normally we would play against the coaches of the youth hockey program or whatever group of people that the charity that we were playing for would get together. This time it was for an injured Edina youth hockey player, and so we went to Edina to play the game, and because of the people who were there and not there, I had to play goalie that day, and let's just say it was not one of my great, from what I thought, not one of my greatest days between the pipes. I gave up in three running time periods, I gave up 11 goals and did not feel good about it until after somebody from the Edina Youth Organization came up to me and said, you know, you played a heck of a game today. And I was like, what are you talking about? I gave up 11 goals. He goes, yeah, but you made 88 saves. 88 saves. And when I recall that night, I also remember hearing a lot of pucks ring off the post, which don't count as shot on goals nor saves. But when I say that the Hankinsons and I crossed paths, it's because they had gotten the troops fired up to just blister me that day. And the other part was because I was wearing my KQRS Tom Bernard mask, my goalie mask that has Tom Bernard's face on it. So those boys, those three guys were really fired up and had the troops ready. They actually broke their, they had so many alumnus show up that day, they broke their team into three groups with a different group playing for them each period. Well, again, to Peter, Ben, and Casey, I would just like to say I'm sorry for your loss, but also, boys, I'd like to thank you for some great memories, and also tell you, as you've become one of the latest members of a club that none of us want, the club of losing a dad, hang on to those great memories you had with John, and be as good a father to your kids as your dad was to you. Well, it's time to wrap things up, I guess. Thanks for listening, and come back for the next episode of JB's Low Tech Podcast.
JB is my name, and f***ing up motherfuckers is my game.
Right on. Negro, black, African American.
Black.
Django.
JB.
Damn. Dolomite.
Great God in heaven, you know.
JB.
Our great Negro sex machine.